the daytime. But he was awake all night during the magic hours. And on the seventh night, he saw the Thunderbird. He saw it fly across the sky above him. He knew he had the call. He was to be a priest. And it is from the vision of the Thunderbird that his life career was set forth for him. And from that time on, the Thunderbird was his totem, was the spirit of integrity that walked with him. And very much of this is in the spirit of the old Greek and Egyptian, and there was a connection between the American Indians and these peoples. I know in the 1940s when I had Hosteen Klaw here, they were probably the last of the great sand painters of the Navajo people. I showed him the copy of my big book, and we opened it to the page with its emerald tablet of Hermes. And this old Indian, who spoke no English, but we used an interpreter, who had never seen a written book to read it, looked at this green tablet which we put in there, and he turned to the translator, who was Askenazwit, and he said, "In very ancient times, my people could have read that." No one knew why he said it. Nothing more was said. But it was part of a recognition. And among these things remembered and recognized was the idea of the priesthood. Show me the way. And in all of our life today, young people, before they start out in life, should do some kind of a vigil. They should do something that gets them away forever from the fast music and the decadence of our modern life way, to simply recognize that we are all born for a purpose. We are all born with something to do. Therefore, we have a right to ask the great spirits, "Father, show me the way. What am I supposed to do? How can I fit myself to do it?" Today, these thoughts are not even in our minds. And in these thoughts today, we would be considered very foolish. Our present problem is to catch a few more rock music programs on the TV until the neighborhood can hardly stand the racket. This is the way we meet these things. We have come completely separated from what the American Indian called the life way. There is a life way, and the old sachems sitting together knew about the way. And the great league of the Iroquois nation said the beginning of the way is to spread the white carpet of the peace. All people dwelling together in peace. Then we must build a roof great enough to be the roof over all nations. And we say that this is the roof of the great lodge to which all belong. That the world is a sacred place. And they had their mysteries and their rites and their rituals and their ceremonies to prepare for citizenship. And down in our southwest in Arizona, we have strange little rows of pebbles that were made mystic mazes. And they were part of the symbolical religious ritualism of the Arizonian Indians. Everywhere, the individual quietly living in the desert or in the mountains, close to nature, wanted to help, wanted to do something to advance the cause, saw around him a great beauty, a great integrity, and a great purpose, and then could only sit quietly and say, "Show me the way." And usually the way was shown. Something happened that turned that individual into a useful and helpful member of society. When we forget the type of world we live in, we are in very serious trouble. When we do not recognize the mysteries of life around us and do not feel that we receive from life a challenge or an invitation, or we recognize that we were born for a reason, that regardless of the importance of the circumstances of our birth, the life way is ours to do that which is necessary and proper. Today there is a great need to have someone or something say quietly, "Show us the way," because we have lost our way. We have lost it in a maze of confusion and selfishness and criticism, unfriendliness, We had a way that came to us from our religion. We do not follow it. We have ways that came to us from the ancient laws of our predecessors. We do not obey them. We have the Ten Commandments and the Sermon on the Mount, but we pay no attention to it. We live only for the gratification of appetites and ambitions. This is wrong, and it can never produce anything but disaster. And we've got to do something about it, and do that something pretty quick. When I went down in Santa Fe area, I did vigil just to see what would happen. And out there in the under a starlit sky, was with the beauties of the night, the moon, pale moon shining down, it seemed so much that we were in a world that was beautiful, kind, gentle, wise, loving, that there was a strange majesty about it. It was great, and yet it was infinitely tender and infinitely available to us. Then in the quiet moment of thought, of the realization of this marvelous closeness to life, we were suddenly reminded of the Mount Alamos nuclear project, just a few miles from there. Here we had two worlds, a natural world of beauty and a man-made world of hate, of fear. We didn't fear nature. We feared each other. We did not fear the wisdom of the past. We feared the selfishness and the ignorance of the present. And we saw no way out of this strange despotism that had captured us. We've got to find a way out. And one of the best ways we can possibly find is to get the young people started on a better foundation. They've got to pick up something that we haven't given them. We have gradually lost touch with our own children. We have lost the realization that there is something that we are indebted to, that it is our need, our right, our inevitable purpose to see that these young people fulfill a destiny we may not live to see. But they will. And we've got to find ways to make sure that they will have a better life to live when it comes. Now, what are we going to do about money? Being that money is probably one of the biggest problems we have, well, we can do all kinds of possibilities, some of which are pretty ridiculous, but at the same time, we can consider them all. Moore in his Utopia decided that money was useless, non-valuable commodity, that the only actual way of solving the whole problem was to set things up so that each individual's share in the common good was protected. That there was no need for money. This is something we can't understand. But it is true that we have not been in trouble because of money. We have been troubled by the profit system. We have been troubled by the fact that money is supposed to make money. That we do not want to work. We want our money to work for us. That we want to use the advantages of money without accepting its disadvantages. Well, the major disadvantage of money is corruption. And it has never existed where it has not been corrupted. It is therefore necessary to think of how to get the lure of wealth and the temptation of wealth out of the human pattern before it destroys us all. We ought to know, being just simply human, that when we go from here, we can't take the money with us. And very often we don't know what to do with it when we do leave it. And the heirs we leave it to simply squander or dissipate it. So the whole thing is very secondary. Sometime we're going to have to decide for ourselves whether it is better to live comfortably and securely here or leave a fortune to be wasted by our descendants. And this fortune, incidentally, apt to destroy them morally and ethically as it has destroyed us to accumulate it. So that the whole theory of wealth is one of the enemies. It is something that we have come to consider to be suitable to be achieved by any individual, regardless of means, honest or dishonest. And the only punishment is to be caught. If we are not caught, we can be dishonest for the whole of our lifetime. Now, this business of money has always been a sore point in the study of human life, because it has always resulted in the veneration of the wealthy, the veneration of those who are supported by wealth. the extravagances of these people not only became the basis of our veneration for the people, but ultimately our rebellion and revolution against these people. Money is one of the problems that needs to be reconstructed thoroughly in a human society. We need some type of a medium or recognition that is not controlled by money. Probably one of the simplest answers to the whole thing is the recognition that there is no way of buying or selling the planet or anything on it. That this so-called selling is simply at most a minor mortgage. That we cannot hope ever to own the things that we are paying for. They will either be broken and destroyed, or they will return to their original owners. Therefore, money as such is a convenience, something to shake in your pocket, but not something to build a philosophy of life on. A philosophy of life must be built on something that cannot be corroded by profit. And one of the things that we can do is to take the profit out of the money and make it something that is entirely what it is intended to be, a medium of change. One of the simple ways of accomplishing this, but it will be very painful, is simply to stop forever the profit system on investment. That you cannot make money by simply letting somebody else borrow yours. That these types of things become the basis of inevitable corruption. That the answer is that under a well-regulated system, the money factor is not necessary. There is no need for money in Moore's Utopia. Yet it was supposed to be a country the size of France with many thousand people. It was not necessary to have money, because everything that was necessary belonged to the people in the beginning. Everything we need for proper life is ours. Everything we need for waste will be condemned. Everything that we gain by taking from someone else who cannot afford to lose it will no longer function as a factor. We can all have everything that is necessary to our survival and a moderate income without the vast financing system that we have now. Why do we have to have great taxes? Well, one thing is for munitions and armament. Once we start hating each other, there goes that part of the investment. And when we hate each other, what do? Waste more natural resources and hasten the time when the whole planet will be barren. So we do not need these types of things. We do not need the great monopolies that arise. The $50 and $100 billion takeovers are quite unnecessary. We were just as happy in the long run with a country store and an old-fashioned friend who was a farmer. We do not need all these things. Everything that we need is available to us. If we do our share of the labor of production, we must do it and be all properly employed, helping to maintain the integrities of each other, the necessities of each other, the services that are required by each other. This problem of thousands of dollars for an operation, millions of dollars for a lawsuit, all these things are based upon an entirely false way of life. And if we keep on nursing it, we're going to have nothing at all in the end but dead planet. Because we are slowly taking the life out of it to pay the bills we should never have made in the first place. All these things bring us another problem. How about building back where we can natural resources that have been wasted or squandered? Can we plant more trees? We're trying to. Can we do various ways of conserving the resources that we have? Can we stop creating luxuries that we can't afford? And all this type of thing. Now, nature steps in and gives us some very useful information. We must be able to see it because it's right outside our window. And one of the things we notice is that it's gradually reaching a point where all this motivation of vehicle travel is obsolete. We can't travel by any system we know today. Everything in a few years will be completely stopped by congestion and the constant flowing of these cars and things into the markets where there's no place to drive them after you get them. This is a serious problem. There are places in the world now where it takes 2 hours to go 10 blocks. Pretty soon it'll take 4 hours to go 10 blocks. And then a little later, 10 blocks will be an annual vacation. We may never get there. Now, we keep right on doing it. How can we wait till the next model comes out? So we have to have it. We're all geared up to the fact that we have something rattling in our pockets and we have to get rid of it. So we just add to this problem day by day until everything we do and have is immovable. We have lost track of common sense. We have lost track of thinking anything through. The only thing we are concerned with is the gratification of a moving mood. And then we look it over carefully, and we ask people questions, and we get very strange answers. Suddenly we realize that the average individual has no understanding whatever of human society. He has no understanding whatever of what a democracy is. All he can answer is that it's different from an autocracy, but he's wrong on that too. Can be just as autocratic as any other form of government. We do not like royalty, but we tolerate dictators. We do not like dictators, but we tolerate long-term administrators who have been filling their pockets with our possessions. We do not think. We allow these things to move in on us until finally we're going to have an impassable situation. Now we're going to have it with everything. The entertainment field is corrupted beyond words for money. Half the books that are published are not fit to read. They're printed because the worse they are, the better they sell. We also know that in the course of time, the cost of every service that we need is going to be higher than it is today, and the service will be poorer. All these things nobody pays any attention to. But there are ways in which each of us can tighten up a little bit. And if enough people tighten up, major changes can and will take place. We have now a really powerful move on the part of environmentalists who are going to get into the act very shortly. I see by a newspaper clipping that the National Geographic magazine, in its next issue, is going to show a crystal earth on its cover, shattered by a bullet. Now this sounds as though they mean something. This is the result of being gradually fed up with things that are wrong and should never have occurred. They have occurred. Now we've got to get out of it before it gets us. And it means we're going to have to do for ourselves what we have refused to accept from anybody else, and that is self-discipline. The laws of antiquity were administered to a society that believed in laws. Those laws today are being administered to a society that does not believe in laws. Therefore, it's going to have the law without the believing. It's going to have to face the problems head on and accept the consequences that have come from our centuries of corruption and misuse of natural resources. We have to do these things. We want to get into the 21st century. We want to do things to make a better world for all of us, and we're going to have to, each person can get at it with something. If we get at it with children, it will help. If the school won't do it, we may have to. But the school will do it if enough parents want it. But to make parents want it, they've got to realize that they're suffering for lack of it, whether they realize it or not. And the average family has children today that are problems, and they will get to be bigger problems unless parents solve the problems with the children. We're going to have to work together to put the world together again and realize that the material which can save it is the material in our own souls. It has to be saved by within ourselves, becoming aware of the need for a reestablishment of the integrities and values which are slowly fading away. The truths we need are inside of ourselves. They cannot be taken away from us, but they can be left dormant unless we bring them out into manifestation. It is up to us to take the truth that we know in our hearts and souls and start using them in our daily lives. And every person has a small circle of acquaintances and friends. We all know people. We all have relatives and friends. And these we can share a little of our hope for better things. Some will laugh at it, but some who are in trouble themselves will listen attentively. there is going to be a major change in the public attitude towards many things that are now well out of control. As publicity, propaganda, and evidence accumulates that we are being viciously mistreated, that we are being exploited in the name of progress, the private citizens are very apt to show that the patriotism that we need is still inside, ready to come out if we'll do anything with it. In the meantime, I do think that the final word is education in this particular field. The word education from educo means to draw out, to bring forth out of things, whereas we've been using it to cram in a sterile curriculum. What we need to know now is to be educated in the facts of life, educated in the problems that we will all have to face, education in moral, personal convictions that we must all develop and strengthen. The time has come when people have got to grow. The world around us can't grow. It has a physical limitation. Of the planet cannot grow any more than the other planets and stars. Society will not grow because its profit lies where it is, even though it is short-ranged and dangerous. The growth must come from the fact that each one of us has locked within his own soul a divine reality. Every one of us knows, if we go deeply enough, that there is an integrity at the base of existence, that all things are measured by honor and honesty, and that all corruption is a false interpretation of some valuable principle or purpose. So the truth must come from within to combat the untruth that is pushed against us from the outside. We live in a world of doubts and uncertainties, but we have to realize that the only world of certainties is within our own souls, that we have the power to build worlds. We have the wisdom to govern them. We have the divine right to inherit the earth in good condition and pass it on to our descendants as a place of happiness, usefulness, and security for centuries and thousands of years to come. We have these potentials. We have these rights. But if we do not use them, we are very, very likely to lose them. All of the extravagances of destruction are now too expensive. We cannot afford the continuing bankruptcies, the huge piling up of national debts, international chicanery. These things we can no longer endure. And wherever the opportunity comes for the private citizen to express his convictions on these matters, he is morally obligated to do so. If we can get this kind of realization and get behind it several well-organized groups that are already working on it, I think we will be able to make a major dent, particularly at first in the environment problem. And the environment gets to be very important because the environment is not only the planet, but it's the food we eat. It is the sky over our heads. It is the house we live in. Environment is the neighborhood which we call the planet, and it has certain limitations and restrictions. We know that the people that live in this environment want to eat, they want to have clothes, they want to have medical help, they want to have schooling, and they want to enjoy certain comforts in their advancing years. These things are all necessary to the security of our generation and our race. All of these things are now deeply threatened. And out of this threat, somebody has to think straight. I don't believe that it is all the fault of legislators. It is not all the fault of the persons we appoint to office. It's our mistake because we often appoint people who might be perfectly sincere but incapable of handling the situation. We must be able to, therefore, know what type of person we need for a certain spot to make this a successful self-governing country. And that's why we need to and must have a university of government where we will be able to produce people who are aware and equipped and can provide the necessary information and do it without ulterior motive. We've got to pass the administration of the planet on to professionals instead of leaving it as it is at the present time in the hands of amateurs. We do not know how to elect because we do not know who possesses the necessary characteristics. Nobody knows. And in most cases, when we elect a man to public office, we doom him to tragedy. He will be corrupted or will be unable to handle the situation. So we've got to get out of this inability situation where we're not able to do anything and realize that no democracy can function unless each one of its citizens knows what it's all about. That if we want to last as a nation or part of an enduring world, we must know why we are here, what we can do, how we can do it, and how we can help other nations to also achieve the maturity of their proper existences. These things all have to happen. We're getting very close to the desperate need for the great big brotherhood of man. We're going to have it. We can no longer maintain the Hitlers and the Mussolinis and the Alexanders. We are in a world now where survival is only possible through cooperation. And in personal and family life, survival is only possible by the neighborhood cooperating, by the family cooperating with its own members, and by all in turn working together in the light of what they know to help to bring about the good things that they need and what we all need. And most of all, perhaps, that in every family, the training of children should be the most important single consideration, an importance which we cannot overestimate. So I think we can say that politics cannot be solved by amateurs. We're going to have to establish a system of education to produce the statesmen that we need. We do not need politicians. We need statesmen. We need persons trained who are in the office and are supported by those also trained who recognize superiority when they see it. We need to put this whole thing on a thoroughly business basis, but we need it to be a business administered by idealists. We need the education of these idealists from the kindergarten on up to the realization that statesmanship is a dedication and not an opportunity to exploit. We must help everyone we can to become aware that the world in which we live is all our responsibility. In each way, each day, there's some little thing we can do to help make these things work out. We have to get started in the right direction, back movements and principles and policies that we know are working in the right direction, sacrifice a little of our own comfort and a little of our own security, if necessary, to help to bring about the greater security of the entire world. Well, that's the way it looks to me.